KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, it's clear and 29 degrees in Atlantic. We're looking for it to be partly cloudy and mild here today with a high near 50. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In area news, firefighters from Shelby, Harlan, Avoca, Minden, and Elkhorn were called to the scene of a hog confinement facility fire northeast of Shelby Thursday night. A passing motorist reported the fire at 515 Hazel Road, south of County Road F-58, just before 8 p.m. Authorities on the scene reported the structure was fully engulfed and the roof had collapsed. The crews remained on the scene until about 1 o'clock this morning. No other details are currently available. A residential fire in Council Bluffs early this morning may have racially motivated origins. The Omaha World Herald reports the call about the blaze in northeast Council Bluffs came in at around 3:35 a.m. from a police officer who noticed heavy smoke in the area and went to investigate. Reports to the Pottawatomie County Emergency 911 dispatchers indicated firefighters had the blaze at the home near North 29th Street and Avenue G knocked down in about 25 minutes after it was reported. There were no injuries. Some reports to dispatchers indicated that the home had swastikas and racial slurs spray painted on the garage. WOWT reports a woman in her 60s lives in the home and has a daughter of mixed race. A truck driver from New Jersey died on a crash on Interstate 680, that is, in western Iowa Thursday. The State Patrol reports 48-year-old Jeffrey Hall of North Brunswick, New Jersey, died Thursday morning after the semi he was driving went off the road and into the median. When Hall swerved back onto I-680 westbound, the trailer hit the guardrail and the 2005 International rolled onto its left side before continuing to slide north and west, going through the guardrail. Hall was ejected from the cab of the truck as it rolled. He died at the scene. The semi came to rest in the north ditch. The accident happened just before 7 a.m. Thursday near mile marker 21, or about the Beebe Town exit. The State Patrol was assisted at the scene by Neola Fire and Rescue, deputies of the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office, and others. Attorneys for Robert Reynolds argued for a new case at a hearing Thursday afternoon, but the judge didn't issue a decision on the request. The Daily Nonpareil reports in a trio of motions, defense attorneys questioned the admissibility of a voice recording entered into as evidence during Reynolds' trial. They questioned statements by Pottawatomie County Attorney Matt Wilbur and questioned the jury selection process. Fourth District Court Judge Greg Stensland listened to the arguments Thursday and is expected to make a decision either today or on Monday. In late November, a jury convicted the 63-year-old Reynolds of first-degree murder for the death of 64-year-old Patricia Kincaid Dorsey of Atlantic. At around 3 a.m. on April the 8th at his Oakland home, Reynolds fatally shot Kincaid Dorsey just above the right eye with a 9mm handgun. Kincaid Dorsey was a friend of Reynolds' wife, Teresa, and was staying at the couple's home. The three had spent the previous evening drinking with Reynolds' neighbors, who left at around 10:30 p.m. At around 3 a.m., Teresa Reynolds awoke to find her husband screaming at Kincaid Dorsey in the kitchen. The fight escalated and ended with Robert Reynolds shooting the woman. Joseph Reedy, who defended Reynolds with Eric Nelson, told 4th District Court Judge Greg Stensland that a call allegedly made by Reynolds to his family after his arrest shouldn't have been allowed at the trial. The motion for arrest of judgment asked the court to stop the judgment against the defendant. At trial, during testimony from Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office Sergeant Rob Ambrose, the prosecution played a jailhouse call from Reynolds to his mother and stepfather's home. Ambrose had instructed crime scene technician Katie Patti to pull audio from the call, which Reynolds made around 11:30 a.m. while in the holding section of the jail on April the 8th. As they did at the trial, the defense argued that to verify the veracity of the call, the prosecution should have called an employee with a contractor that handles such recordings for the jail to testify. During the trial, Stensland ruled that the call and Patti's testimony about the call would be allowed. Reynolds' other attorney, Nelson, then made two other arguments as part of a motion for a new trial. The last argument centered on the jury. Nelson said the jury selection process, calling jurors from East Pottawatomie County, systematically excluded minorities from the jury. He cited precedent that the defendant need not to be of different race to file a complaint about a lack of minorities on a jury. Stensland told the court that he'd take the motions under advisement and make a decision in the coming days. Also in area news, the Iowa Public Information Board found Thursday that the Pacific Junction City Council failed to keep adequate records of public meetings, but used its administrative discretion not to pursue charges for those violations. Daily Nonpareil says members of the IPIB board approved a remediation plan with Pacific Junction to resolve a complaint, brought by Councilman Earl Smith, who had an initial complaint dismissed that sparked new concerns based on a September 2nd meeting. The plan, which was approved by the board on Thursday, requires all council members, the city clerk, and the mayor of Pacific Junction to review training provided on the IPIB website. The board will also provide council members copies of reference materials, and Pacific Junction also pledges to strive to describe future agenda items sufficiently enough to meet legal requirements. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Madeline Jane Smith, age 87, of Griswold, died Monday. Funeral services for Madeline Smith will be today at 1:30 at the Griswold United Methodist Church. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Myrna Carley, age 88, of Carson, has died. Funeral services for Myrna Carley will be on Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Carson United Methodist Church. Los Hills Funeral Home in Carson has the arrangements. Sue DeVault, age 78, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at Greenfield Nursing and Rehabilitation Health Care Center. Celebration of life services for Sue DeVault will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Werner Gall, age 88, of Erling, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A massive Christian burial service for Werner Gall will be Saturday at 10:30 at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Marilyn Schnack, age 74, of Harlan, died January 8th in Mesa, Arizona. Funeral services for Marilyn Schnack will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Twyla Johnson, age 78, of Creston, has died. Celebration of life services for Twyla Johnson will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Powers Funeral Home in Creston. Lois Dorsheimer, age 94, of Griswold, died Monday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Lois Dorsheimer will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. Dune Funeral Home of Griswold has arrangements. Maxine Hall, age 81, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Services for Maxine Hall are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Elwood Hansen, age 67, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. Services for Elwood Hansen are pending at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. And Jimmy Kelgore, age 76, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Salem Lutheran Nursing Home in Elkhorn. Services for Jimmy Kelgore are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.